Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this great congregation here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. God, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, it's good to praise you together today. Father, I pray that as we open up your word, that you would open us up to receive it. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to have a good understanding. May we be the good ground where the word is sown. May it produce fruit in each and every one of our individual lives. Today, Lord, we have not come to hear from a man or a woman, young or old, black, white, brown, tall, short, thin, wide, educated, uneducated, rich or poor. No, God, we've come to hear from you. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher of the church. Be our teacher. Be our guide. Give us your vision, your wisdom, your instruction, your direction, even the correction where we've gotten off track. Please, Lord, get us back on track with you. And Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. Today, Lord, don't just bless us only, God. We would ask that you bless all of our brothers and sisters here in the Inland Empire as well as around the planet that are both preaching and hearing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless your church. We pray for those that are preaching the gospel. Lord, doesn't matter to us if they're denominational, non-denominational. Be with them. Bless them, God. Bless the Baptists, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Calvary Chapels, Assemblies of God, Foursquare, Evangelical Free, Set Free, Victory Outreach, Catholic and Adventist and Messianic Jewish. God, we ask that you would bless Harvest in Oak Valley, Ecclesia, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, The Way. We ask that you bless Elevate Life and C3, God, Citizens and Sandals Church. God, all the great churches that are out there. There's too many to name by name, but Lord, you know them all by name. So we bless your church. Pray that you build your church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Lord, we do say a special prayer for our brothers and sisters that are persecuted worldwide. God, we ask that you bless your church and build your church, God. Strengthen them. May they endure to the end to the glory of God. And Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace in our land. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Everybody in agreement said, amen and amen. While you're having a seat, I'm going to take a drink of water. Well, today we're starting part number two of a three-part series called What Makes God Angry. Now, don't worry. I know some of you guys said, well, wait a second. Hold on. I missed part one. That's okay. We will review today. You'll be able to come right back with where we're at today. And today's message will stand on its own. You're going to get something from the Word of God today. And if you remember last time we were together, I foreshadowed what we were going to be talking about this weekend. Anybody remember the word that we're supposed to be talking about this weekend? Excuses. All right, some of you guys remembered. And I thought, you know, excuses, sometimes that can be a little bit convicting. You know, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but sometimes when the Word of God comes, we get a little bit convicted, don't we? So I thought I'd lighten the mood by telling a joke. Anybody like jokes? Anybody want to hear a joke? Okay, good, good. I was going to tell it anyways, even if you didn't like it. But there's a man approaching his midlife, and so he was having that midlife crisis thing and was wondering what he was going to do. And so he decided, you know, rather than go run out and do something crazy or anything like that, he thought, you know what, I'm just going to go out and I've always wanted a Corvette. And so I'm going to buy one of those new mid-engine, mid-body Corvettes. They just look so cool. And, you know, it's American-made and eight cylinders. I mean, just like, it's got to be cool. This is going to fulfill something in my midlife crisis. And so he goes out and he buys himself a brand new Corvette, just absolutely loves it, drives it off the lot. And on his way home, he says, man, this thing is just amazing. I love that hum of the engine, that low hum. And so he said, I'm going to see what it can do, you know. Let's open up a little bit. And so he starts to speed up. And as he does, man, this thing is just purring. He's just like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. This is fulfilling something in me. And so he gets out on the highway and starts to drive a little faster. He gets to 65. It's still purring. It's not even affecting it. He's like, man, this thing's made to move. I bet I could open this up. And so he starts to give it some gas, and he starts going up to 75, 85, 95. Man, he's just having a good time. That engine is no longer purring. Now it's roaring. He's just feeling it. He feels like a man, you know? And so he decides, man, this is 95. I got to take it up to 100 and see what it can do. 100, 105, 110. And wouldn't you know it, right as he hits 110, he looks up in his rearview mirror and there's some red and blue lights going like this in his rearview mirror. And he goes, oh, man, I should have known this was going to happen. But then he had a thought. I wonder what this car really can do. And so he floored it. 120. 125, the cop is still keeping up with him. 130, 135. Now all of a sudden the cop is starting to disappear in his rearview mirror and he's like, yeah. But then something happened. his conscience kicked in. And he thought, oh man, I must be in crisis if this is what I'm doing. I can't believe myself. This is not me. And so because of his conscience, he decided, you know what, I'm going to pull over. I know I dusted that guy. I know what this car can do, but I got to pull over. I got to give in, okay? I can't be that guy. And so he pulls over to the side of the road. Now, a couple minutes later, as the cop finally catches up, he pulls over. He sees the cop step out of the car, and the guy is just shaking his head. This police officer is just like, what is going on here? Can't believe that the man pulled over. And so the police officer walks up to the window. The guy rolls down the window and puts his hands up on the wheel and looks over. And he doesn't even ask, is there a problem here, officer? Because he knows there is a problem here. And so he just kind of sheepishly looks up and shrugs his shoulder like, I'm sorry, please have mercy. And the police officer pulls his sunglasses off. And he says, sir, it's been a long day. I've had a lot of issues with people today. I got a lot of paperwork waiting for me back at the police station, and I don't want to do any more. And I can see that, you know, something happened in you that you decided to pull over and let me catch up. You could have just ran off, but you've at least got a heart. And so I tell you what, if you can give me a good excuse for why you were driving that fast running from me that I haven't heard in the 27 years that I've been on the police force, then I'll let you go. The man sat there for a second and thought, and he looked back up at the police officer and he said, well, you know, I'm in my middle age and I was having a midlife crisis, and just last week my wife left me for a police officer. And I thought you were coming to bring her back. The police officer throws his glasses back on, says, have a nice day, and walks off. Let's talk about what makes God angry. Let's talk about excuses. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 18. Last time we were together, we said this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Remember, we talked about this, that as we see the righteousness of God in the gospel, we also see the wrath of God. And the wrath of God is totally righteous, that God is right for being angry. Why? Because if God wasn't angry, he would be wrong. When we see injustice, when we see evil, it should make God angry. And God should be the one who would do something about it. And so we know that the wrath of God is not uncontrolled, it's not unreasonable, and it's not unrighteous, that God expresses his wrath in a totally right way. That God is even patiently storing up that wrath for the day of his return, and that it's going to be poured out on the ungodly. Now, we can see that it's revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now, what is ungodliness? Notice the word un, it means without. So it's a person who is without God, but also unrighteous. That means that they're in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. Because of that position, their practice is off. And it says that these men suppress the truth. What does that mean, to suppress the truth? Some of your older translations would say, hold the truth. Almost like a boat that's holding a course against the wind. God and his ways are directing us, and men yet hold their course against the truth in order to hinder its progress in their life. Now, we said this last time, that there's not a period at the end of that sentence, but rather a comma. The thought goes on. In verse number 19, and we're going to read verse number 19 down through verse number 23. It says this, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. Now, the word manifest means to make visible. It means to appear, okay? So what may be known of God is visible even in the people, for God has shown it to them. How did God show it to us? Verse 20. For since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. And notice this one, Godhead. That word speaks to the authority and the majesty of who God the Father is. So that they are without, what's that word right there? Excuse. Remember, we're talking about excuses today. They are without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, because they rejected the truth about who God is, that they could clearly see, now no longer having the light, their hearts are darkened, and they become foolish. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Now, from the time we can remember, when it comes to getting in trouble for something and fearing that our parents would be angry, what happens? We become afraid. We start to shift blame. We make excuses so that we can get out of being held responsible. Didn't Adam and Eve do this in the garden? Here comes God, and he starts to talk to them about what happened. Did you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil? And Adam says, well, the woman. He shifts blame. The woman, not only the woman that you gave me, God, if you wouldn't have given me this woman. He shifts blame, doesn't he? Well, the woman, what does the woman do when he says, well, tell me about this? The woman says, well, the snake. Right away, finger pointing. Well, the serpent deceived me. Now, that was true. But Eve, you had a personal responsibility. I think I tried this when I was young. I had Eve's excuse on my lips. I did something, I can't remember what it was, but I went to my mom, and my mom was like, why'd you do that? I said, well, the devil made me do it. And from that moment, for the next 5 minutes, I got a lecture on personal responsibility and accountability from my mother that I never forgot. I realized I can't use that excuse anymore. I got to find a new one. But here we can see that there are excuses that are made. Even in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 19 through 23, we can see some excuses that I believe God is angry at. God's angry when we make excuses because they're ungodly, they're unrighteous, and they hinder the truth in our lives. And excuses don't work. So what are the excuses that anger God that we can see from this text? What are some common excuses? Well, the first one that we see is this one. I didn't know. Anybody ever heard that excuse before? Some of you parents in this place, you went to your kids, you say, hey, why'd you do that? Well, I didn't know. Well, when my kids have told me that, here's what I've said in the past. Okay, well, now you know. In other words, the next time this subject comes up, if you want to come and try that excuse on me again, we're going to have a conversation that, no, you did know, and I told you last time this happened, and now here's the consequences of that action. My kids started paying more attention when we would talk after that because they realized I don't like getting in trouble. I better pay attention because I don't know, when they've already told me, is no longer an excuse. And we're inexcusable with God. God says no one can say, I didn't know that there was a God. Why? Because it says that what can be known of God is manifest where? In us. Do you know the book of Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity in our hearts? And what can be known of God is seen in the creation. By nature of the fact that there is a creation, we can conclude that there is a creator. When we look at creation, we start to see the systems of this world. When we start to see what's going on around us, even the systems of our body, we can understand that not only was there a creator, but that creator was intelligent because of the design that he put into it. Think of the intricacies of your body, all of the systems that work together. If one of them is off, the whole body is off. If you don't have a skeletal system holding up your muscular system, responding to your nervous system, you can't even move. If you don't have a digestive system that's working together with your respiratory system, your blood will not be pumping oxygen to your brain, and you will no longer be able to think. Isn't it amazing how God makes all these things work together with its manifest where? In us. You can see it in yourself. You can see it in the systems of this earth. You can see it in the ecosystems. You start to cut down trees and all of a sudden your air is going to have a problem. You take a little fish out of the water and all of a sudden the frogs and the flies and everything else are having problems. There is a food chain that shows us that everything is interdependent on each other. Even humans and plants, what we breathe out, they breathe in, and what they breathe out, we breathe in. Absolutely amazing, the things that God hid in the earth. Why? To show us this intelligent God. And if God is an intelligent God and a designer and had purpose and intent, then don't you think that God would want to reveal that purpose to his people? See, it's manifest in us. We can see it. The very fact that you have a conscience should show you something about God, because he designed you that way. And if we have a conscience of what is good and what is bad, then don't you know that a God who put that in us himself would be good and would be determining what is good and what is evil? And so God would want to reveal, because he's good, that purpose to us. And how would he do that unless by his Spirit he would reveal that to a person who could come and talk to us and tell us what God is thinking? Or God would have to come in the form of a human. Did you realize we just saw Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all by looking at the creation, which we concluded with the Creator? The very Godhead is revealed in nature. No one can say, hey, those people on distant islands or deepest, darkest Africa or way out in the mountains of Nepal, they have an excuse. They never heard the name of Jesus. No, they may not have ever heard the name of Jesus, but they didn't recognize that there is one God, that he is the Creator, that he has a purpose, and to start to seek and search for him. There is no excuse of I didn't know, because we all know it's made manifest in us. We can see God in his creation. Take a look at it with me in Psalms 19. Turn there with me in the Old Testament. Find the Psalms. We'll be bouncing from the Old Testament to the New Testament back and forth, but we'll be bouncing back to the Psalms a couple times. So maybe you want to put a ribbon or a pen, maybe your finger in there. All right, Psalms chapter number 19. Psalms 19 is a lot like Psalms 119 at the end of the psalm. It talks about the word of God and the excellency of God's word, but it's really like the Cliff Notes abridged version of Psalm 119. But the first part, the first three verses of Psalms 19, starts out talking about the creation of God and how we can see God in creation. Psalms 19, are you there? All right, good, good, good. Psalms 19, verse number 1, look at what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, that speaks of the dome of our atmosphere and what we look up and see around us into the heavens, the clouds, the sun, the moon, the stars, the solar system, off into the galaxies. We can see in the firmament, it shows his handiwork. Verse 2, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Notice it's not hidden. God is showing it to us. He's revealing it. It's being made manifest. It's appearing. It's visible. You can see it. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Some of your newer translations might have omitted some of the words in italics that we have in our older translations, and it might say no speech or language, voice is not heard. In other words, what it's saying is even though creation does not have an audible voice, it still speaks to us about God. And there's no language barrier. It doesn't matter what tribe, what people you come from, what language you speak, the language of creation is speaking to us that God exists, that there is a creator. We are without excuse when it comes. No one can say, I didn't know. Second excuse that I see, though, is this, is an excuse that maybe is pretty popular amongst the teenagers. Here it is. You probably know this one. Well, everybody's doing it. What do the parents say back? Well, if everybody's jumping off a bridge, would you do that too? Right away. And some of the rebellious teenagers might say, yes. Mama's going, I hope you would, kid. But we can't say, well, this is the way culture's going. This is the way society's going. We've moved on. You notice the progression. It says that people rejected the knowledge of God. And what did? They started to worship the image of a man. And then that image of a man opened the door for them to go to the baser things, the animals and the four-footed creatures and the creeping things, even the insects that you can smash with your foot. They start worshiping and bowing down to the image of ants and crickets and different things that we eat and that we can easily destroy. A lot of times when you look in society, they reverse this process, don't they? They say, well, when man was first created and they didn't know anything, they worshiped the sun and the moon and the stars, and then they worshiped the animal kingdom. And you can see that in Egypt as they progressed in knowledge, they started to worship these animals, and they had the head of a bird or they had the head of a fox or something like that. Then eventually, as man went on in time, you see the Assyrians with these images of women, and then the Greeks came along with all of their gods. These were images of men and the stories of old that they're still making movies about today. But we progressed beyond that, and eventually people worshiped one God, and that was the Jews, and that was the Christians. And yet, in our postmodern society, we've moved on. It's a post-Christian world now. We know more about life, and we know more about the universe because we understand things, and they start to explain away how creation happened. They say, well, there was a big bang. There was nothing, and these two particles were swirling around. Hold up. Where'd the particles come from if there was nothing? Because good science should tell you that something cannot come out of nothing. The law, not the theory, the law of conservation of matter and of energy says that in any transaction, energy and matter cannot be created, only distributed, only rolled over, in other words. What you put in is what you're going to get out, unless you have something supernatural to start the chain of events, you don't get anything. Good science will tell you that. Bad science will tell you everything just kind of happened. It was just whoosh, and then boom, it all happened. It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe that God created the heavens and the earth. See, the reality is this, is that in the beginning, man knew God. Adam and Eve walked with him in the garden. And yet because of their sin, they were cast out. And they had two sons. One of them killed the other, and then they had another son by the name of Seth. Men started to call on the name of the Lord God. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Noah pleased God and found favor in God's sight, and God kept him in a time of trial. Noah passed on from the generations this worship of God. That's why all of the ancient peoples, you'll find things like blood sacrifice that they gave to God. Why? Because they were honoring God. They had a common ancestor, and they were connected with God in the beginning, but eventually they stopped worshiping God and started worshiping themselves, and they rejected God. Man went away from God, and that was the open door to the base things of worshiping the creation rather than the creator. That's why you find men walking away from God. But just because everyone is doing it doesn't mean that we should jump in too. You're there in Psalm 19 still. Turn back to Psalm 14. Just a couple pages over. Psalm 14, verse number 1. We're not even going to go into the whole verse. We're just going to read the very first sentence in Psalm 14, verse number 1. Notice what it says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Notice God defines a fool as someone who is void of the understanding of God. You have to be a fool to look at creation and say, there is no God. Very foolish. I don't care how many PhDs you have, how many doctorate degrees, how much education you have. I don't care how wise you think you are. You're a fool. If you can look at all that God created, if you can step up to the ocean where God created its boundary, if you can go up to the mountains and look at the systems, and if you can go up in an airplane and jump out of it and free fall and skydive and see the curve of the earth, if you can look at all that and say there's no God, you're a fool. Because it can be plainly seen. If there's a creation, then there's a creator. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a great verse for April 1st, by the way. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:21 in the New Living Translation. It says this, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. Notice there's a wisdom of God and there's a wisdom of this world. Everybody's doing it. Well, hey, that's foolish. The way that the world is going to drag you to hell. And if you go before God and you say, well, God, I didn't know everyone was doing it, God's going to say, you're a fool. You should have looked at what I plainly gave you in the Word of God, that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He's used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. See, there's a worldly understanding that is void of God and very foolish. And God will not excuse our foolishness just because everyone else is foolish too. I hear too many people saying, well, we've moved on past God, or, you know, God's ways are antiquated. You know, this is how society is going now, and God needs to catch up. Listen, we need to catch up. We need to get on board with what God is doing, not drag God down into our image, into our likeness, and into the base things that we want to worship. Which brings us to the final excuse that I can see in Romans chapter number 1. And that is this, and this is a very popular one. You probably heard this one from maybe some young people. Maybe even some older people have said this to you. Maybe you saw this one on TikTok. Here it is. You ready for it? Well, I have my own truth. I've noticed when I'm telling someone about God, when I'm witnessing, telling someone about Jesus, hey, did you know that Jesus loves you? That's why he went to the cross and he died for you. Oh, well, that's your truth, but I have my own truth. You know what they're saying right now? Excuse me, I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to be held accountable for my actions. I don't want to feel bad about what I was doing last night, so I have my own truth. And they're excusing bad behavior. And for all of us, we cannot allow TikTok and the ways of this world to define for us what truth is. There is a truth, and truth is whatever God says. Jesus is the person of truth. He is the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man goes to the Father except by him. If you go by your own truth, you're going to be going the wrong way. More and more, we see this phrase becoming common. And people don't realize that this excuse creates an exchange. What exchange is it? You're exchanging the glory of God for an image you create called my truth. If it's your truth, you've just set yourself up in the position of God. Do you notice that? There's an unholy trinity at work, me, myself, and I, that sets itself up as God. See, it's no accident that in Romans chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul uses the same verbiage that God did in Genesis chapter number 1 when it says that God made man in his own image and his own likeness he created him. What is it saying? That man created gods to worship in his own image and in the likeness of sinful man. Same words, image and likeness. Why? Because we're looking at ourselves saying, well, this is my truth, and then what do? We worship that which looks like us. We create these echo chambers. We've got these algorithms online that if you like something long enough, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start seeing that over and over again. And it's going to reinforce your belief, my truth. Whereas, hey, what about this someone else that has a different algorithm? What about someone else who has a different reality that they live in, a different view of how life should be? One says this is okay, the other says it's not okay. Who's right? That's where the Bible comes in and says, let God be true and every man a liar. When we create the world that we want to live in and create it in our own image, it becomes an idol to us that we worship. You might say, Pastor, I don't have any idols in my house. I never carve a piece of wood and overlay it with gold and go and bow before it and break open fruit to it and burn incense in front of it. I've seen that in stores. I've seen that in restaurants. And, you know, I understand they come from a people group that's okay for their culture and their thing, but I don't do that. But, you know, an idol is not just a little carved piece of wood that's overlaid with gold that you bow down to. Did you know that? Really, an idol is anything that you give your life in worship to. Anything that gets in the way of your relationship with God is an idol. That means that your kids could be an idol. When you allow them to determine whether or not you're going to church. Mijo, do you want to go to church today? No, I want to play video games. Okay. Your kid's an idol. When the soccer games and the baseball games take precedent over church. Well, my kid, that's important. That's how they're going to go to college. Where they're going to brainwash them? Is it more important they go to college, or is it more important they go to church where they're going to learn about God and learn the way of life and learn the truth? How are they going to get a good job? Isn't God your provider? You want to say amen when we're talking about Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and everybody's like, yeah, amen, Pastor, God prosper me and bless me, and then you want to get your kids in college by a sport rather than trusting God to provide for their needs, rather than guiding them in the way, and you let sports become an idol. You start bowing your life to sports. Oh, well, we got to go on Sundays, and that's when the games are played, and then we're going to be out of town that weekend because they're in a club team, and then everything becomes about that, and it draws you away from God, and you worship the image rather than the God who should be praised. How about this one? Sex. A lot of people giving their lives for sexual experiences. Perversions. It doesn't stop at pornography. Then they want to go deeper and deeper into those things. They want to have those experiences. And so they give their lives, swiping right, swiping left, making sure that they get the right algorithm, showing them what they want to see. Hooking up, doing things that are abominable before God. Things that they should be ashamed of. Things that should not be talked about. And yet, people are doing them all the time. They're giving their lives for those things. It's become an idol. How about the idol of money? People working so hard, right? They come to church. I'm believing God for a job. Pastor, would you pray for me to get a job? Absolutely. We pray for a job. They get the job. And eventually the job becomes greater and greater. Oh, we're being so blessed, Pastor. We're tithing now. We're doing so good. Man, they're getting blessed. Oh, I'm having to work weekends now. You know, we just got so much work. I can't get to church anymore. Then what happens? They prosper so much. Oh, we bought a boat. We're out at the river every weekend. We can't come to church. I watch online, though, Pastor. Yeah, sure you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Where's your fellowship? Where's getting into the corporate anointing? Where's that moment of reaching out? Where's serving? I know you can give online, but can you serve your brother online? Can you reach out and touch somebody's shoulder and pray for them? Can you anoint somebody with oil online and pray the healing power of God over that? You can't do that. You can't do that. You cannot live the life that God wants you to live online. It's a false positive. It feels good and it checks a box in your mind, but it's not coming to church. Got quiet in here. I'll move on. Anything that gets in the way of our worship is an idol. You know, approval of man can become an idol. People seeking for approval, so what do? They go out and they have these great experiences, but they got to post it online. Got to do it for the gram. The phone eats before we eat. Got to post it online. Why? Because they're bowing their lives before the idol of approval. Anything that gets in the way of your relationship with God can become an idol. See, the idols haven't changed. The little statues were supposed to represent gods of war, gods of agriculture, gods of fertility. Why? So that they could prosper, so that they could receive, so that they could feel good. And some elevate their own education, their own pleasure, their own prosperity, and their own pursuits above the knowledge of God. What you don't realize is that even though those pursuits are looking like you, because man created idols in their own image, didn't they? In the image of man, and then eventually in the image of birds and four-footed animals and the creeping things, right? So here's man creating something in his own image, but eventually that image distorts into something lower. Do you know that when there is a void of God in that place of worship, the devil will step in? And those gods of the ancients don't think for a second that they were just man worshiping himself or just worshiping something that wasn't. No, there was a demon god behind that. And we'll talk next week about where the devil takes that. And it's shocking. It is absolutely shocking. D.L. Moody said this. He said that excuses are the cradle that Satan rocks men to sleep in. So we got to guard against excuses. We have to guard our lives because God is angry when we're ungodly and unrighteous and suppress the truth. And so we have to guard against these excuses. So how? How do we do this? I'm glad you asked the question. First thing is this, is to make no excuses. Say, Pastor, that's too simple. I know. Do it. But have you ever noticed that the simple things are often the hardest things to do? It's like, man, I'm trying to quit smoking. Well, quit. Don't smoke anymore. I want. All of a sudden, you're fiending for a smoke. Got to get that fixed. What if you just stop smoking? Isn't that easy? No, it's hard. Stop making excuses. Why? Because when something happens and we want to excuse ourselves, it just rises up from our flesh. It rises up on the inside of us. But God says, guard against it. Don't make any excuses. Zig Ziglar used to love to tell the story that his brother would tell of a friend he knew of, that when his neighbor came to him and said, hey, I'd like to borrow your lawnmower. Can I borrow your lawnmower to mow my lawn today? His neighbor said, I'm so sorry, you can't borrow my lawnmower because all the flights have been canceled from New York to Los Angeles today. The man said, I'm sorry, what? What on earth does the flights being canceled from New York to Los Angeles have anything to do with me borrowing your lawnmower? And the man said, well, nothing. But I figured if I don't want you to borrow my lawnmower, any excuse will do. See, for us, we need to understand that excuses don't work. God sees right through them, and no excuse will do. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, verse 13, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says this, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Listen, guys, you're not accountable to yourself. You're not accountable to your neighbor. There's one God that you're going to stand before at the end of all of this, and God is going to ask for an account of your life. And when you step up to God and say, well, God, I didn't know. God, everyone was doing it. God, I have my own truth. God is going to say, there's no excuse. You knew. and you understood it, and it's my truth, it's not your truth, and therefore God is just in all of his ways. So what do? Stop making excuses. Stop it. Don't excuse bad behavior by saying that you didn't know. Don't excuse bad behavior by saying, well, everyone's doing it. Listen, just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean that you have the right and the privilege to go out there and do it. I don't care if society's moved on from God. I don't care if society's changed. I don't care if society thinks that they're enlightened or that pleasure is okay or that God is, you know, gracious and he's going to forgive it. Listen, just because everyone's doing it, don't do it. Because if God says it'll drag you to hell, you don't want to go there. And definitely don't give God the excuse, well, it's my truth, and therefore it's okay, it'll be all right. It's not all right. It's an excuse based on a lie. And when we operate in that, we operate in deception, which is the devil's territory. So what do? Don't make excuses. Just own it. Own your faults. It's okay. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. You're not the only one that struggles with sin. Listen, guys, as your pastor, I struggle with sin. But I own it. I go, God, I messed up. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. God, I thought the wrong thing. And what do? I take it and I bring it into the light. Why? Because when you bring it into the light, now God has the opportunity to work with it. But if you keep it in darkness, that's the devil's territory. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No excuses. God, I messed up. God, please forgive me. God, I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn from my way. I'm going to go your way. God, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop making excuses. God, I own it. I was wrong. But God, you're right. And therefore, God, forgive me and help me to move forward. And God will give you the grace to move forward. But the second thing is this, we're going to guard against excuses. Not only stop making excuses, but the second thing is give God glory. Notice he said that the people who were darkened and foolish in their minds, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. They didn't give God glory. So if we're going to stop making excuses and guard against these excuses, we've got to give God glory. Now, in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 25, okay, I know we went to verse 23 and we stopped, but I want to just read ahead a little bit, and look at this. I'm going to read it to you in the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB, all right? It says this in Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served what has been created instead of the Creator who is praised forever. Amen. You notice what just happened right now? The Apostle Paul, in the middle of talking about all this bad stuff, all this darkness, how men are suppressing the truth, how they're worshiping the creation, he mentions God in the middle of that, and it's almost as if the moment the Apostle Paul mentions God, he just has to stop and have a praise break. What's he doing? The Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. Come on, just let's have a praise break. Can we just take 10 seconds and just start to praise God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who wrote redemption's plan and carried it out in his son Jesus, the one who saved you, the one who healed you, the one who delivered you, the one who provided for your life, the one who blessed you, the one who set your feet upon the rock. Oh, praise the Lord. How different would your life be? If when in the middle of a conversation with somebody and they were saying, hey, what did you do this weekend? Well, I went to church. Oh, God touched my, oh, I just got to praise God. And you just had a praise break right there in the middle of the office, right there in the middle of the neighborhood, right? Hey, how you doing? Oh, God has blessed me. Oh, God is glorious. God is awesome. And just had a praise break. People would be looking at you like, what is going on? I'm going to go back to work. But you would be living in quite a different place. There's no excuses when you start to praise God. The excuses don't stand up. Let's look at it in the Word of God. Look at what it says in Psalm 50. You still got your foot in Psalms or something there? All right, Psalm 50. All right, Psalm chapter number 50. Last verse in Psalm 50, verse number 23. So if you find Psalm 51, just back up one verse. Look at what it says in Psalm 50, verse number 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Right there. I love that. Now, the word glorify comes from the word glory. Now, we know the glory of God is the goodness of God made manifest, visible to us, right? When God's goodness shows up, when it appears, that is the glory of God. Y'all tracking? Okay, so when we're glorifying God, what are we doing him? We are showing God to be good. So it says, whoever offers praise shows me to be good. You see that? See, that's what God wants from our life, not to make excuses. Well, I don't know why there's so much bad in this world. I don't know where God is at. God used to do great things, but I guess he's not doing them anymore. Maybe God doesn't want to do a miracle in my life. Maybe I'm not good enough to be healed. No, if you stop focusing on the problems and the circumstances surrounding your life and you start praising God, those excuses will fall by the wayside. God is good. God is moving. God's working all things together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And by the way, I love the Lord and I'm called according to his purpose. Therefore, God's working it out. I don't know what he's doing, but God alone is to be praised. See, no excuses. When we glorify God, we show him as good, and there's no excuse that can stand up to the goodness of God. Which brings us to the last one for us today, and that is to be thankful. When you start to praise God, you're going to find gratitude follows right behind. Just be thankful. In 2020, my dad passed away very suddenly, very quickly. He was here, and in one breath, he was gone. Shocking. I mean, we all just were floored by that. There was no signs. I mean, he had some health challenges and things like that, and we thought, you know, it'd be a long process before we got to that. But he was here, took a breath, and he was gone. And so I had a flood of emotions, shock and just, you know, sadness, of course. I miss my dad and even anger. You know, 2020, everybody was angry, but I was extra angry because I'm like, you all are frustrated about this stuff. I just lost my dad. I don't care what you have to say, you know. Couldn't even have a funeral. And so I was just all upset and just beside myself. But I started to switch over into something called gratitude. And when that shock would hit me, I'd say, you know what, though, God, I'm just thankful. Thankful that my dad didn't suffer. Thank you, God, that he didn't have to live the way that the doctors were foreshadowing that he could have lived. He would have hated that, God. So I thank you, Lord, that you took him peacefully, that he didn't have long, drawn-out pain, and that, God, he's with you. When I started to get sad about the loss of my dad and missing him, you know what I started to be thankful for? God, thank you for 40 years with my dad. I know a lot of people didn't have a dad. A lot of people didn't have a good dad. I had a good dad that was in my life for 40 years. God, thank you for that. And when I'd start to get angry, you know what I would do? I would say, well, you know what, God, even though I'm angry that the world is still moving on, I'm glad that, God, you left a legacy in my dad to me, to my children, to my brother and to his children, to this church, to the FDC where he served, to the Christian school that he loved to work with the kids. God, thank you for the legacy that was left that's enduring. God, thank you. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. First Thessalonians 5, 18, New King James Version says this, in everything, give what? Thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Everybody point at yourself real quick and just say, for me. This is the will of God in Christ for you. A lot of times people say, Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? Who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? Listen, we can excuse ourselves. Well, I didn't know. I don't know the will of God. God's not telling me. God's not answering my prayers. Listen, how about this? Let's get rid of the excuses and let's get into gratitude. Let's start to thank God. God, I thank you that you woke me up this morning. God, I thank you for breath in my lungs. God, I thank you that you saved me. God, I thank you that you delivered me. God, I thank you that I don't have to premeditate what I'm going to say to somebody about Jesus, that your Holy Spirit's going to fill my mouth and tell someone what they need to know in that moment. God, I thank you that the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and God, you are walking me through life. God, you know the next step. God, you know the one in front, even though I don't see it. God, I thank you that you're God and that you know why I don't need to see it. God, I thank you that you're strong. God, I thank you that you're good. God, I thank you that you are mighty. God, I thank you that you are powerful. God, I thank you that you have all riches and all resource, and that, God, you will supply. God, I thank you. No excuse will stand up to the gratitude that you give God. What did we learn today? We learned that there's some common excuses that anger God, things that are ungodly and unrighteous that suppress the truth. What are those excuses? I didn't know. Everyone is doing it. And I have my own truth. But none of these things will cut it with God. God sees right through them, and we have to guard against those excuses. We have to make sure to not enter into those things. Make no excuses. Give God glory and be thankful. I wonder if we can just have a praise break one more time, because that was so much fun. Can you just give God some glory today? Can you show forth the goodness of God? Can you start to open your mouth? Come on, start to praise God. Start to express your gratitude. God, you're good. God, we love you. God, we praise you. You alone are good. You alone are the only wise God. God, you're glorious and awesome and mighty and powerful. And we praise you, Lord, here in your church. Amen. Amen. And amen. Pastor Antonio, would you come and lead us in this next portion of our church service?
Come on, let's praise him one more time. Pastor Dan, we thank you. Come on, when you preach real good today. Sometimes you can say, oh, it hurts so good. And I appreciate you, Pastor Dan, that, you know, you care less about being liked and cool and care more about giving us the truth of God's word. And we like you, and you're cool still though, right? We love Pastor Dan. Welcome. My name is Antonio, and I am so privileged to be here with you all this morning. Guess what? At this time, we are going to transition the service into a moment that we get to set our hearts before giving to the Lord as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. And before we do all that, I want you to make sure that you pay attention to the screens here real quick, because I want you to see what's going on at this house, right? When we're sowing seed, what exactly that we are sowing into. So pay attention to the screens for this video.
Hi, I'm Dolores Kyle, and I've been going to church here for 20 years. And I was just wanting to say what a blessing that the group programs have been for me. I became a widow 4 years ago, lost my husband. And other than the widow's group, it's just thrilled me to find out that Pastor Mike and Pastor Sue started the SALT program. And we do so many wonderful things. And my heart just goes out to them and to the others that are there. We participate in all these activities, and they minister, we testify, and we just pour our hearts out to them. I'm really happy to know that I'm a part of it, because I feel like seniors understand seniors, but we are a group that really has a hunger and a love for something that the Lord has placed on our hearts to join and to be able to be a part of. I've met so many new people and able to just relate to their problems, and we pray together, we have fun together, we have games. So I want to thank Pastor Sue and Pastor Mike for loving on all of us and giving me the security that I can now have a place to go and be a participant in. Thank you very much. I'm blessed.
Come on, we love our seasoned saints around here, right? Hey, amen. I heard a story one time, a pastor talking about how at their church they had some placards or parking spots called the Silver Saints. And someone came, "Pastor, I can't believe you have parking spots for people that give a certain amount of money," assuming like, hey, it's for, oh, you have to give a certain amount to be able to park there. It's like, no, for our silver-haired saints. But so, I don't know, maybe that wouldn't go over very well here. So we'll just keep, you know, bless you all. But we love our seasoned saints, and we're so grateful for you. There's a community for everybody. Hey, as we give before the Lord today, the ways that you can give are on the screen right behind me, whether it's Text to Give, the Rock Church app, however it might be. Man, we are so blessed to be able to partner with God in all that he is doing. Again, I want to encourage you to get that Rock Church app. And even those chairs in front of you, you can tap on that, right, and set up your giving, even your recurring gifts. It's an amazing thing that God would allow us to partner with him. As we partner in faith, come on, we're not paying a bill. We're not giving begrudgingly. We are cheerful givers here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. So let's pray over our offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you, And we are so grateful that we get the opportunity to give. We get the opportunity to pour into what you are doing all over the earth, Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God, because today we are not giving from lack or abundance. We give from a cheerful heart. We give knowing, Lord Jesus, that you are our provider. And you, Lord God, will provide all of our needs according to your riches in glory. That's what your word says. It's your promise. And you are not a God that you should lie. So we stand on your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Ushers, at this time, you can go ahead and receive the offering. I know I forgot to ask you to raise your hand if you were in need of an envelope there, but there are some in the seat backs in front of you, or you can stop an usher. We love our ushers around here. A couple announcements before we continue on in service. Is that okay with everybody? Come on now. Hey, you know our Rock Con is coming right up. That's right. Our Rock Con is just a few weeks away. We are so excited about that. And we have some opportunities for you to get connected and get involved. So right after service, don't hesitate. Go ahead and sign up to serve and find out what you can do to be a part of that at the information hub. That's right there. And then tonight, come on, somebody said tonight. Come on, Pastor Jess is leading our Holy Spirit tonight as we are going to learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to miss tonight at 6 p.m. as we just tap into what the Holy Spirit is doing. And it's going to be a great time. I know she's been in preparation and prayer about that. And so come on out and bring somebody. Come on, bring somebody, a great opportunity to bring somebody that we know just needs a meet up with God and His Spirit. And then right after service, speaking of the Holy Spirit, we have a prayer for the Holy Spirit. Who's going to be leading that right after service? Matt and Kat. Oh, look at you, you're raising your hand. Look up. Matt and Kathy, I'm a seasoned saint over here. Don't you just, okay, Matt and Kathy are going to, okay, never mind. Matt and Kathy are going to be up here, so just don't hesitate to come right up after service. All right? Hey, I love you guys. God bless you. Pay attention to the screens, and Pastor Dan will be right back.
I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing, the circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Hi, Rock family. Pastor Dan and Jessica Roth here, and we want to talk to you about RockCon 2024 coming up real soon, September 13th and 14th. But Pastor Jess, why is it important that our church shows up to this event?
You know, I believe that this is a time for us to press in, to go deeper, to give God more of our time and more of just that time where you push aside everything you would normally do on that weekend and you say, I'm going to spend the whole weekend with God as a family. Mm. And we're going to just, it's almost like a fasting of what we would normally do to be with God completely. And in that, I know that God is going to speak to us, that He's going to deposit some things in us, that He's going to put into us a preparedness of what is ahead and how we as believers are going to be and where He needs us to be, and there's a commission gonna be placed on our lives. And so you don't wanna miss this. It's gonna be life-changing. Yeah. We have youth conference, children's conference, women's, men's, we have it all. And these phenomenal speakers. So please, guys, take some time as a family, sign up together. We'll see you there, and let's see what God speaks, because it is time for what God has for us this year.
And the scripture says, and great grace was upon them all. I believe that God has a word for you at RockCon 2024, and that there will be graces imparted into your life as you set aside that time and join us for RockCon 2024.
Love you.
Amen. I am greatly anticipating what God's going to do at RockCon 2024. I want to make sure to encourage you guys to sign up, because God has a word for you. Everybody point at yourself real quick and say, God has a word for me at RockCon. So I'm going to be there. Some of you guys fell out like, I don't know if I want to be there or not. Hey, come on, it's okay. Come join us. Come be a part of what God is doing. Don't let money hold you back. A lot of times people see the price and go, oh, well, you know, I don't know if I can make it. Listen, you can make it, all right? And they have some deep discounts available for volunteers. So if you'd like to serve with us, go to the table and say, hey, I heard there's some deep discounts for volunteers. What can I do? And they will work with you on that and help you out with that. But make sure, don't let anything get in the way of coming, because God has grace impartations that you are going to receive. And it's just going to be an amazing moment, I believe, in our church and in your life. lives and your future and what God wants to do. And so let's make sure to be a part of that together. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. Hey, before we let you go, I want to make sure that we take some time and make sure that your heart is right with God before you leave. No excuses. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, I was raised in church. Don't talk to me about this. It's fine. I'm okay. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I'm in church right now. I think I'm a Christian. Sometimes people excuse themselves by saying, you know, I've been a good person, Pastor. God will let me into heaven because I've been good. Or maybe because you've helped out in a church, or you were baptized or christened as a child, went to religious classes, Sunday school, Sabbath school, catechism class. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible do any of those things get you into heaven? The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter if you were raised in church, your parents told you were a Christian growing up. Doesn't matter if you've been coming to church for a long time, got involved. Listen, that's not going to get into heaven. Your good deeds out there in the community or in your family, that's not going to make it. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. And we're all without excuse. You can't say, well, you know, I prayed a prayer at one time. Isn't that enough? No, because God's looking beyond just the words of your mouth to the attitude of your heart. He sees deep within you. Sometimes people say, Pastor, you can leave me alone. I've got more time. I'll make a deathbed confession. But, you know, there's no excuse. God could show up at any moment, and then what are you going to say? Well, I thought I had more time. And God will say, oh, okay. No, there is no excuse. We need to make sure that we're right with God while we have the moment and the opportunity. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And there are those of you in this place that today, it's your day of salvation. Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't think you're coming back as a dog or a frog working your way up into human. The Bible says it's appointed for man once to die and then to the judgment. We will all go before the judgment seat of Christ. Now listen, for believers, we're not appointed to the wrath of God. Our sins have been forgiven. And we'll give an account of what we did, but we will still enter into the rewards that God has for us for what we did while here on the earth. And yet, those that are not right with God will go into eternal punishment. That's where the word damnation comes from. Eternal. It is forever. God gives you this opportunity, this time on the earth, to decide where you're going to end up, whether heaven or whether hell. Jesus said it like this. He said, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. That shows me God's way to heaven. Not your way, not my way, not someone meaning church committee's way. Well, I was a good, you know, church boy. God says that's not an excuse. You have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So what does that mean? Well, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it's always meant the same thing. It simply means this. It means that you surrender to God all of your heart and that you've surrendered to God all of your life. It's all or nothing with Jesus. Let me prove it to you. Last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking to a church and he says, when I come, I want to find you hot or I want to find you cold, because if I find you lukewarm, he says, I'll vomit you from my mouth. I know that's gross. I know that's graphic, but what is he saying? He's saying half-hearted lukewarm Christianity is not real Christianity at all. Really, what is he saying? Let's boil it down to this. He's saying in or out, because you can't do both. Either you are or you aren't. But if you're messing around, lethargic, apathetic, you're going to be vomited from the mouth of Jesus. You're not going to get to make it. And today, you need to make a change. Today, you need to give God all of your heart. Today, you need to give God all of your life. Who am I talking to in a moment? I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to one, two, three. And when I say three, I'll pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When I say three, bang, that's your opportunity to simply raise your hand. Acknowledge your need for Jesus. Who am I talking to? Who should raise their hand in a moment? If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure about your salvation? Make sure. Who should raise your hand if you've never done this before? Never given God all of your heart and life? Come on, I'm speaking to you. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're lukewarm in this place. Maybe you backslid and you know that you need to get right with God. You can get right with God. You say, Pastor, what if I'm embarrassed? Listen, Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, I will deny you. Today, it's your call. Today, it's your choice. You can sit there and do nothing and you made a choice. Or how about this? Make the right choice today. Give God all of your heart. Give God all of your life. You know who you are. On the count of three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Get ready to get your hands up live and online. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. There's one, two, three in the back. Got you guys. Thank you. Four right up front. Thank you. God bless you. Five, six. Thank you right there. I got you up there. Thank you. Seven way in the back. I got you over there. Seven wise people. Who else today? There's seven wise people. Eight up on top over there. Yes, got you right there. Nine way in the back. Got you over there. Thank you. God bless you. There's nine wise people. There's ten up top. Oh, in the family room. I got you right there. Yeah. it looks like I might be a little hand. That's okay. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. That's right. Got 10, 11 right here. Yes, thank you. God bless you. Who else today? It's 11 wise people. If you feel the Spirit of God just drawing you, maybe tugging at your heartstrings right now, my goodness, don't resist the Holy Spirit. God's trying to talk to you. Is there anybody else? On this side, where are they at? Up in the top? Good. Man, they're pointing everywhere. Man, my goodness. All right, I see that hand up there. Thank you. Who else today? No, you need to get right with God. Today, it's your day of salvation. I'm going to give you one more moment. Listen, if you go before God, there's no excuse. God will say, hey, that preacher, he was giving you opportunities, and you passed them all up. You need to get right with God. Come on. Anybody else? Get that hand up real high. I'm going to give you one more moment, then we're going to wrap this up. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this opportunity. Yeah, there's a story of a man. Heard there was a flood coming. He said, God will save me. His wife and his kids, they all left the house and said, you're crazy. Don't stay here. Get in the car. He said, no, I'm not going to go. God will save me. Water started to rise. A boat pulled up. The guy said, hey, jump in the boat with me. The guy said, no, God will save me. Eventually, the water rose up high enough. The man got up on his roof. Helicopter came by and put a ladder down to him. Said, hey, come on, jump in the helicopter. He said, no, God will save me. Eventually, the water flooded so high. The man died, and he went before God in eternity. He says, God, why didn't you save me? And God said, I tried to. I sent your family in a car. I sent the guy in the boat, and I finally sent a helicopter. I want to give you one more opportunity. One more opportunity. God's trying to save your life eternally. Come on. You need to give God all of your heart. You need to give God all of your life. Is there anybody else? This is the last call. Last call. Last opportunity. And I'm going to wrap this up. Don't miss this. Anybody else? Come on, raise it up high when I'm looking your direction. Anybody else? Right there. Yeah, wonderful. Good choice. Over here. Yes, I got you right there. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just one last sweep through, and we're going to wrap this up. Anybody else? Up on top there, they're pointing up the top. Way in the, oh, in the family. Thank you for the wave. That's awesome. Appreciate that. Let's give God a great big praise. Now, those of you that raised your hand, listen, you don't get saved by just raising your hand. You got to give God all of your heart. You got to give God all of your life. So we want to lead you in a prayer to invite Jesus in your heart and life, okay? But we can't do that until we get you down here. Let's all stand. No one leave during this time. Let's welcome those that raised their hand. Or if you should have raised your hand, but you didn't, hey, God's still sending you another lifeline. Just come right now. Get out of your seat. Get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Come on down. Come on down.
Oh, come to.
Just come right now. If you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet me up front. Come on, they're coming. Let's give them a hand. Parents with children, if they raise their hand, they're welcome to come. You can bring them right now. They'll remember this. Come on out of the family rooms, out of the foyer, wherever you're out, front to back, left to right, even in the breezeways in the bathrooms. We got speakers in there. If you need to come, just come on right now. They're still coming. Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Come on down right now. Church, be the full-time minister. Nudge your neighbor. Say, come on, friend, if you need to go, I'll go with you. Then bring them right now. Come on, bring them. Anybody else who need to come, just come. Come on, come quickly.
Father's arms
Well, if you still need to come while I'm giving some instructions, you are welcome to walk down. Hey, everybody up front, put a big smile on your face. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. We're so proud of you. We're so blessed by you. And listen, we love you a whole lot. We're grateful for what God is doing in your life. You didn't come because I coerced you. You came because you responded to the Holy Spirit leading you to this place. My friend Pastor Joel over here waving at you, he's going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart. He'll take you right over there. Nothing weird's going to go on. He's going to pray with you, give you some free information, free literature, and talk to you about getting back to church, introduce you to some wonderful people we have here, okay? He'll describe how it works. It's easy, it's free, and you need to do it. In fact, give us this next year. Keep coming consistently to the Rock. Keep praying to God every day. Just talk to God, just like you would talk to a friend. Talk to God. Tell him about your life. Ask him questions. He'll answer if you listen. And read your Bible. What do I mean by that? The whole Bible in a day? No. Just get a little verse. Get a little scripture, something that speaks to your life. Start in John, read through Acts, keep up with us in Romans, maybe read ahead a little bit. Just get a verse, something that speaks to you, and think about it all day. Talk to your family about it. Talk to your friends about it. And listen, if you don't have any family or friends, you got a great big family behind you that would love to talk shop with you, okay? So if you guys just make a left turn, follow Pastor Joel right this way. Come on, let's give him a hand as they go, church. Hallelujah. Well, church family, make sure to sign up for RockCon on your way out. Going to be great. Also tonight, Pastor Jessica, during the Holy Spirit night, is going to be talking about gifts of healings. If you are sick in your body or you know someone that's sick, bring them tonight at 6 p.m. because I believe that God wants to heal physical bodies here in this house, okay? For those of you that are being dismissed to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Matt and Kathy are right over here waving. And you're welcome to be dismissed to head up the stairway to them, and they will pray for you and encourage you in that as well. But we're going to be dismissed online. If you raise your hand right after we dismiss, go to rockchurch.com. Find the tab up on the top, those three little lines. Click that and go down to the section that says How to Know God. There'll be a video with me talking about a lot of the stuff that I just talked about, but then it leads you in a prayer at the end. Pray that prayer along with the video. Give your heart and life to the Lord and then fill out the information. We would love to connect with you online as well. Can I bless you right now? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Let me bless you. Father, I bless the saints from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. They are blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare out loud on purpose and in faith that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us online. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that salvation prayer with our pastor, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Here at The Rock, we want to get you plugged in and set up for success as you start this new walk with God. In a moment, I'd like for you to head over to our Respond to God page by clicking the link provided in the comments where you can fill out your information so we can provide you with some free materials. We have a booklet called Welcome to Your Destiny, Easy Steps to a Successful Future with God. We'd love to mail you this paper copy if you are within the continental United States. If not, don't worry about it. We have an electronic copy in PDF format that we would be happy to email you. We also have a comic book we'd love to send out for any kids that have made a decision to follow Jesus. It helps explain their new walk with Jesus in a fun and age-friendly way. We not only want to provide you with these free materials, but if you live locally, we would also like to get you connected with a friend. A spiritual personal trainer, or as we like to call them, SPTs, who can help guide you through your new relationship with God. We encourage you to connect with the local church in your area. And if you are in the Inland Empire, remember, you're always welcome here at The Rock Church. Well, it was great hearing the word of God with you guys today. We can't wait to see you at our next service. And remember, God loves you and so do we.